Title of the lesson is Don't Quit. Maybe an alternate title would be Jesus Didn't Quit. Comes from the text in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we should lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility against himself. And here's the lesson. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin.
Wow.
So I'm kind of putting your notes by way of introduction. You ever heard someone say, or maybe you said to yourself, I quit. I quit. Maybe going back to when we were kids on the playground, I quit. Maybe we're stymied at a task, we can't figure it out, I quit. Maybe someone says, or you've heard someone say, I just can't do this anymore, I quit. And even in Christian living, we may know someone who said, I quit. I don't call any names out loud. I know someone. Yeah. But we know people. People feel this way at times, where we just say, I quit. You heard me read the poem that says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low, the debts are high, you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won it had he stuck it out. So don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. And often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and struggling man. Often the struggler's given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late, when the night slipped down, how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint on the clouds of doubt. You can never tell how close you are. May see and may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. So don't quit. Saw this in the Arco Reader's Digest a while back. But just had the title, If at First You Don't Succeed. Well, they quote some famous people about failures. When you with it, first you don't succeed. First one, J.K. Rowling. She said, it's impossible to live without failing at something, unless you live so cautiously that you might as well not have lived at all. You had Michelle Kwan. I started figure skating at age 5. The first thing my coach taught me was how to fall. I remember gazing up with a puzzled expression, thinking, shouldn't I be learning to skate? But looking back, I realized that my coach was very smart. She knew I was bound to fall many times throughout my career, that I needed to learn how to handle it. Michael Jordan. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the winning or the game-winning shot, and I've missed. I've failed over and over and over again in life, and that's why I succeed. Another one just said, failure seldom stops you. What stops you is the fear of failure. Venus Williams said, you have to show up, so why not compete? That's right. So don't quit. That's our lesson. Now, I'm not suggesting that the answer is ordinary human advice, just a couple phrases you can add to that list. Keep a stiff upper lip. Yeah, that sounds good at times. Every cloud has a silver lining. Yeah, that's true. The old expression, pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. Chin up. Things could be worse. The corollary to that is, so I put my chin up and sure enough, things got worse. Darkest hours right before the daylight. And so in Christianity, and I'm putting our text is one place in the Bible that answers the question, what do I do when I feel like quitting? I want to give up on Christianity, Christian living. What do I do? This letter to the Hebrews was very pointedly addressed to those Jewish Christians who were not so sure that the way of Christ or Christianity was really the better way. And so many times throughout the letter, you'll read it about the better promises, better covenant, better sacrifices. So many things are better throughout the letter. And so these new Christians from the Jewish faith, their old faith had a long history, and Christianity is so new, I quit. Some of these Christians with the Jewish heritage, they said, we want to keep some of the old ways. We can't do it in this new faith. I quit. There's some might be saying, this new way is not freeing me from hardships. I quit. So in our text, the Hebrew writer gives us some perspectives for our race in life. Three things. I put these in your notes. Three things to do. Look at others. Second, look at yourself. And then look at Jesus. When you put those three looks, when you're kind of down and out, or struggling, or just feel bad, I want to quit. Well, take a look at these three areas. Number one, so great a cloud of witnesses. These witnesses are those, we sometimes use the phrase, heroes of faith, that are in chapter 11, the previous chapter. And these heroes of faith are pictured as, in chapter 12, the opening verse, as spectators in this vast arena cheering us on. And we need to learn from their courage when we're tempted to quit. So I just jotted down a little summary of chapter 11. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered. Verse 5, by faith Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 7, by faith Noah prepared an ark. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith. Verse 17, the list continues. By faith Abraham offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And by faith, in verse 22, Joseph gave instructions concerning his bones. Don't leave my bones here in Egypt. Verse 24, by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Then in verse 32, he says, and what more shall I say? You think he'd already said enough to convince us that we need to hang in there, that we need to stay and last, no matter what the hardship. Because you look at all those, everything they did. You know, Abel offered, Noah prepared an ark, Abraham obeyed. You know, Abraham again offered, Isaac blessed, Jacob blessed. And each one of these, it gives an action word afterwards. They were involved in their faith. And then in verse 32, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. And then it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Boy, if you ever get discouraged, start reading Hebrews chapter 11, those opening verses of chapter 12. You say, I quit. Oh, no, let's look at others, number one in your notes. Let's look at others. From them, we learn when our courage lags. They not only cheer us to overcome, but in your notes, they testify that it's worthwhile to do so. So I thought just a couple, let me go back and I'll take these little things to my notes. I just jotted down. You think about people in this congregation who have passed on, but remembered their faith. You know, Christy and I came here 37 years ago. Go back then, you know, I knew Margaret Ackerman. She was old then, but a woman of faith. You think of Leela Burke, Susan's mom. Nan Wilson, Pam's grandmother. Palmer and Audrey Wilson. Earl and Jean Cross. Frida. I don't have to give a last name for Frida. If you were here and knew Frida. Daryl and Wilma Collins, Christine's parents. Patty Agbenag. When Patty was here, her family was here. When Patty died, Karen Rambo. Ed Hernandez. He was 33 years old when he died. Buster Woody. On the list, I hesitate to mention a list, but there's others. But these are people that stood in their faith. We have a cloud of witnesses in this congregation that we can look to when we think, I feel like I'm going to falter. Look at others. We learn from their firm faith in God, their perseverance, and they lasted to the end. And one day, our grandson, Liam, he's going to ask, why is my middle name Daryl? Liam Daryl Anderson. You know, Jared and Alma Best's first child. You know, he was named after Christine's dad. And one day when he gets older, he may question, how did I get my name, Mom and Dad? And then Jared and Alma Beth, Jared will say, let me tell you about your great-grandfather, especially his faith. Well, Liam, you have a cloud of witness around you. Think of Eli Buster Woody. One day Eli may say, why is my middle name Buster? And then Sally and Jeremiah say, pull him aside, and Jeremiah say, let me tell you about your great-grandfather, Buster Wood. Buster wasn't even his real name. I forget, what the letters, L-O or?
L-R, Louis Raymond.
Louis Raymond, that's right. L-R Woody, better known as Buster. So number one, when you get discouraged or down and out and feel a struggle coming on, look at others who passed on, who have lasted till the end. So number two is let's lay aside. Now let's look at ourselves. First thing we want to lay aside is the weight. These are the things that hinder our progress, things that weigh us down or they slow us down in running the race. They're things that are not wrong in themselves, But they get in the way. They impede our success in running. The things that have a negative effect on our dedication, our commitment to Christian living. These things that they're just weights. You know, when the runner gets it ready to enter the race, he takes off the sweats. And maybe the weights that he had on his wrists or his ankles to help him, you know, build a muscle and strength. And when it comes time for the race, let's lay those things aside. That's going to slow me down. It's things that make movement or progress difficult. Lay it aside, the Hebrew writer is saying. Things that hamper us, things that obstruct or sabotage or limit us or hold us back or interfere or hobble or choke us. Lay it aside. I wonder, why am I just so discouraged? Well, lay aside the weight, first of all. The things that are impeding your progress. Then the next one, the obvious, the sin. But it's interesting with this sin. He doesn't mention it specifically, but it's whatever that sin is that so easily ensnares us or besets us, in the King James Version. That thing that troubles me may not trouble you. If I tell you the thing that troubles me, you'll say, "What? That doesn't bother me. How can it possibly bother you? How can that easily beset you? I have no trouble with that one." So make it personal. You look at yourself. The one that easily besets you is the one that's conveniently close by. It's that temptation that has everything in its favor. You know, the time, the place, the opportunity. It's that thing that we have to struggle with all the time. You know, try kind of maybe that when you're wrapping a present or a gift or something in that piece of tape, it sticks, and you can't get it off. You take it with this hand, now it's on this finger. Take it this, and now it's back on that one. That's kind of what that sin is. It's the one that just easily knocks us off. Jumps out and grabs us. It's that well-circumstanced sin that surrounds us. That sin that easily ensnares me. Make it personal. Romans 13 verse 14 says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." If there's something in your life where you have to go and you know, "Oh, that's going to be a problem for me," don't go. No. Stay away from there. Make no provision, Romans 14, verse 13. Or 13, verse 14. Make no provision to fulfill the lust or that snare that easily topples us over. Then let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us. And that, when you think of a race, we're not talking about a quick sprint, as you know. It's a race. I put in your notes that Greek word agona, agony. It means difficult struggle, grueling, time-consuming contest. Christian life is endurance. It's not a stroll. It's a long haul. So don't quit. We need to know that, you know, that we're in this for the long haul. Otherwise, we get discouraged. Paul said, "In time of my departure is at hand, but I fought the good fight. I've finished the race, kept the faith." So we need to have endurance. So second point in the lesson is, let's take a look at ourselves. So we look at the others who died in faith, not the ones in the Bible, and the ones that we know. And let's look at us, what we can do for ourselves. Number three, the last one, look to Jesus. Look at Jesus, who for the joy set before him. Boy, where's the joy in these things that the Hebrew writer lists? Where's the joy in enduring the cross? Where's the joy in despising shame that's associated with a crucifixion? Where's the joy in enduring hostility from sinners? You know, where's the joy in going through that pre-crucifixion mocking and scourging? You know, where's the joy in that? Of course, the answer to that is that Jesus is giving us something, and I always boil it down to three areas. For a gift to be joyous, it has to have three things. You have to give that gift voluntarily, and that's what Jesus did.
You ever give a gift that you didn't, that you had to give?
No, I don't get to have any fun in this. Not any joy into having to give this gift. I'm forced to do it. It's like when my brother and I were maybe arguing over a bicycle, and I screamed loud enough for Mom to come outside, and she said, "Rod, give Brian the bicycle." You think my brother Rod had any great joy giving me that bicycle? He gave it to me like this. Wasn't any joy in gift giving. Wasn't given voluntarily. But Jesus gave his life voluntarily. The second requirement for a gift to be joyous is that it has to be needed. You ever give somebody a gift they didn't need? Not any joy in that. Jesus gave us a gift we couldn't provide for ourselves. Giving us a gift we needed. You know, ever attend a maybe a shower? Well, no, we had some showers recently. Babies and wedding showers coming up. And you might have had all those packages gathered around the person that was going to be honored. And you're probably leaning to the person next to you and say, "Wait till you see what I got for them." Oh, I've searched it out. I asked family and friends, what do they need? And then before they get to your gift, they open a package that's the very same thing that you got for them. And you go, oh, the joy just left. They don't need what I'm giving them. Oh, I know, we can trade it in. But for Jesus to go through what he did, the joy set before him and all that endurance, he had to give us a gift that was given voluntarily, that was needed, and then sacrificial. Costing. You ever give a gift that didn't cost you anything? You'll see the person out at the 7-Eleven doorway. Can I spare change? Oh, here you go. You didn't enjoy it. Didn't relieve them anyway. You want some spare change? Okay, here you go. I didn't give it sacrificially. I just gave them spare. There's no such thing as spare change in my life. All my change is not spare. I need my change. But he gave it sacrificially. So I've known people when they comes time to gift giving, they'll travel across the county because the present that they want to give is at the store, at the shopping center in El Cajon. They'll sacrifice. I know people do handmade things. I know when Christine makes a blanket, hours and weeks, every night. She's so good at it now, she can watch television while she's doing it. Doesn't have to look. But it's sacrificial. There's joy in that. So why don't you just go buy something? No. I want to give them this gift. So Jesus gave a gift that was sacrificial. He gave everything he had. He gave, the illustration is, he gave his head to a crown of thorns. He gave his cheeks to dirty human spittle. He gave his face to be slapped. He gave his shoulders to a robe of mockery. He gave his hands and feet to a Roman spear. He gave his side to the Roman spear. He gave his garment to the soldiers at the foot of the cross. He gave his mother to the beloved Apostle John. He gave his spirit back to God. He gave his life for you and for me. So when Jesus did all of these things, there was a joy set before him. And so the Hebrew writer says he endured the cross, despised the shame, endured the hostility of sinners. He didn't quit. He didn't quit. So that's the last phrase I put in your notes. When you do these things, look at those who have passed on around us. Look to yourself what you need to do individually. And then look to Jesus. Otherwise, you'll be weary and discouraged in your soul. And we don't want to happen. So that's the lesson this evening. The other verses, Galatians 6, verse 9. Let's not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, I didn't put that one in your notes, but 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart.
because of what God has done for us, and he didn't quit, and his son. Don't quit. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here tonight. But don't quit. And that's the lesson. And I don't know why my parents gave me a middle initial K. I asked, and always wondered, why'd you name me that? He just said Anderson was so common, we wanted to give you a name that wouldn't be repeated. The owner, you meet yourself coming and going. I have a middle initial only. Okay. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. We need to respond in a public way while we're here to meet your desire, whatever that your request is. We can certainly honor that. So that's where our tradition is. Let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis selected.